Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
As we head into October 31st, I don't know, Producer Pete, at this point, should we start playing spooky music? For those people out there who celebrate Halloween, I know that I just got a big box of candy delivered to my house on Wednesday, just in time. I am planning to make some cookies on this Thursday morning when I get home from work, but I needed some candy as a backup. So I got a big bowl of candy ready for the trick-or-treaters that will hit our neighborhood. Here's the funny part, though. I don't generally wake up in the afternoons, especially in the wake of a World Series. I'll probably sleep until about 4:30 Eastern time. So go to bed around 8:30, try to sleep till 4:30, which means some of the earliest trick-or-treaters will be there even before I'm awake. So that will fall on the husband. Welcome to New Jersey.
Put the bowl outside.
Oh, no. That's cheating. And it's cheesy.
Gets the job done.
Well, I know, but isn't the point to see the kids and say hello and happy Halloween and all that stuff?
Yeah, but when you get to 9 o'clock, you're like, all right, have a good night.
It'll be dark long before that, actually. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you are one who celebrates, well, happy Halloween to you. I love black cats. I love pumpkins. I love orange. So in that respect, I suppose it's a happy Halloween. We're going to take a break from talking about the Dodgers celebrating their second World Series title since 2020 and look ahead because, you guys, we're almost to the brand new college football playoff rankings. A dozen teams this year in the playoffs, so it's this whole new world. And we're pleased to welcome our friend Jerry Palm, insider for CBS, who is always in the know about how these things work and is busy predicting not just the 4-team playoff now, but the 12-team playoff. So how much extra work is that for you, Jerry?
Well, it does take a little longer. I mean, I always have to do 1 to 25 projected rankings, so that's really the work. Instead of taking the top four and making a bracket out of it, I take the top 12 and make a bracket out of it. That's not as much work. It's the 1 to 25 prediction that's the work.
What do we need to know, other than the fact that we're expanding to 12 teams? What changes in how this playoff bracket is put together?
Well, probably the biggest change is, you know, in a typical 12-team bracket, their top four seeds get a bye into the quarterfinal. Well, in the college football playoff, those four teams are going to be the highest-rated conference champions. So when they put together this bracket, they wanted to really emphasize and reward conference championships. So the top four conference champions are going to get a bye into the quarterfinals, and the top five conference champions are automatically in the playoff. And what that does is it guarantees at least one group of five conference champion is going to make the playoff. So those are the two biggest differences, I think, is the reward for conference champions and the emphasis on conference champions, plus the group of five is guaranteed at least one conference champion.
It's interesting, after all those years of you telling people, and we've talked about it here on the show, I've heard you do interviews, I've seen you write this online, conference champions are not guaranteed anything in the college football playoff. It doesn't actually mean that you're automatically into the bracket of four, but now it actually means something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes. So they decided when they were going to expand, one of their points of emphasis when they were putting this together was to make sure conference champions got rewarded. And they've done that. So you probably will see the top four teams, you know, that are seeded 1 through 4 aren't necessarily going to be ranked 1 through 4 in the final college football playoff rankings. Mm. It might happen, but it would just be kind of a coincidence. I think the ones I have are like 1, 2, 4-6 in my projected rankings for the end of the year. So, and that's just, and so that, you know, the number five team or the number three team ends up being the fifth seed and has to win one more game to win the college football playoff.
So this is a little complicated. I'm not even sure if I'm asking the question correctly. But since we now have these bloated conferences, the SEC, the Big Ten, and I know strength of schedule in the past has been a major component, how can that be measured in a way that's equitable when your conferences are so different in not just size, but also in bulk, if that makes sense?
Yeah, you measure it the same way. It's just that you're going to see really, you know, disparate differences in strength of schedule within teams in the same league because, you know, in the Big Ten, for example, you know, there's 18 teams. You're playing only half your league opponents in a college football season. And which half you get, you know, is going to mean a lot. For example, you know, Ohio State is going to play Penn State and Indiana and Oregon. And, you know, the three other teams in the league, that those three teams are currently undefeated. And Ohio State has to play all of them. It's already played one of them. Indiana is only playing at Ohio State, and they may not play another team that wins more than seven games the whole season. So if they don't beat Ohio State, they're going to be 11-1, and you'll look at them and you'll say, yeah, but who have they beaten? They may not have a top 25 win out of 11, and it's just their schedule. It's, you know, it's funny because Indiana is one of the more pleasant surprises in college football this year with a new coach, Kurt Cincinnati, and has got them really rolling right off the bat as in his first year. But and they're beating teams badly. You know, they haven't got a great schedule, but they're winning big for the most part. So, you know, that's about all they can do. And the committee will probably take that into some consideration, but your strength of schedule matters a lot. And Indiana did not get a good conference schedule for trying to be a playoff team, which nobody expected. And I'm sure the league wasn't even thinking about that kind of a thing when they put league schedules together. And of course, they didn't schedule a great non-conference schedule because they've been bad for so long. So why would you schedule a good one? But in the end, they could end up paying for that. We'll see how it goes. Obviously, if they're undefeated, they're going to be a conference champion. They'll be in the playoff. If they have only a loss to Ohio State, they're probably not going to be a conference champion. And, you know, with a schedule as bad as they have, you know, and as competitive as it is around the country, you could see maybe an 11-1 Indiana get left out. Wow. If that loss is Ohio State.
Right now, Indiana sitting at 8-0, as Jerry mentioned, and 13th in each of the rankings. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Jerry Palm is charting all of this, and you can find him on CBSSports.com. And I have your latest column open, kind of looking ahead at what's to come with the first of the rankings, which will be unveiled next week, Election Day, correct? Tuesday is Election Day and the day we see the college football playoff rankings.
Yeah, so election Day for the first rankings and Inauguration Day for the championship game.
Gosh. Interesting. So then how do you have these first, we'll just go first four, your top four at this point?
Okay, so the top four teams I have, I'm sorry, you're talking about this week's rankings.
The playoff, playoff rankings.
As opposed to the projected rankings. So I have Oregon, Georgia, I should have looked. I'm always thinking ahead with rankings.
So the first set of rankings.
I have Oregon and Georgia 1-2, and Ohio State and Penn State, or Penn State 3, Ohio State 4.
So in a bracket, though, because those teams come from, well, because you've got a couple of teams from the same conference, it would look different, right?
The Big Ten.
Yeah.
So in a bracket, Penn State and Ohio State would not be, they would not get byes. The highest rated team I have from the Big 12 is Iowa State. So that's a team that would get a bye as opposed to Ohio State or Penn State. And then Miami is the highest rated team in the ACC, so they would also get a bye.
In addition to conference championships, and we talked about strength of schedule, what are the other criteria that the committee is looking at?
Well, head-to-head matters.
Good.
And, you know, they look at how you perform against these teams. So I don't want to say margin of victory is a metric that they look at, but, you know, how you play, this is a committee that rewards dominance and has always done that. So that could work for Indiana. Like, their schedule may not be great, but they're laying waste to it. So, you know, that's something that, you know, you look like a playoff team when you can, when you're beaten the snot out of everybody you play. So, you know, even if that's not a great schedule. It's dominance, it's strength of schedule, head-to-head can be a factor, but it's not everything. It's certainly, we have seen in times where that has come into play and has been a tiebreaker, if you will. So, there's a lot that they look at. They have a ton of data. They'll look at things like game control. How well do you take control of an entire game? You know, are you having to win late, or are you getting on them from the jump and just methodically beating them along the way and never letting a team in it? Those are things that they'll look at. I'm not a big fan of that, but that's one of the things that they look at is game control.
When you talk about the expanded playoff, I'm going to give you a true or false. Well, I'm going to give you a statement. You tell me if it's true or false. Is it true or false that the committee will end up including more teams from the major conferences outside of the conference champions, or we'll get fresh blood, so to speak, and this will be an opportunity for some of the other teams to be part of it that maybe don't come from these power conferences?
It would be unusual for there to be more than one team outside the four power conferences.
Wow.
The one guaranteed team. This year, that looks like it's going to be Boise State. Still got a way to go. But they've been the best of the group of five all year. I don't really see a scenario this season where two of those teams get ranked high enough to actually get into the college football playoff. It's going to be an SEC Big Ten heavy playoff.
How many teams are we talking out of the 12 from those two conferences, Jerry? Ballpark.
Probably seven. Seven from those two conferences. And that'd probably be four SEC and three Big Ten. It could go the other way, but it's probably going to be seven from those conferences.
Does that accomplish the goal that college football wanted, that the playoff committee wanted, in essentially just adding more of the power teams to the mix?
Well, I think they just wanted a bigger playoff. They wanted to give more teams a chance. And, you know, in previous years, that still would have been the case. It would have been a rare season where, you know, two group of five teams would be in a position to play even a 12-team playoff. So the difference with this one is that they're guaranteed a spot. Whereas, you know, before, you know, you could have a 12-team playoff and maybe not have any group of five teams. So at least now they're being guaranteed at least one spot.
Jerry Palm is with us talking the college football playoff and the new rankings, new look rankings come out next week on Election Day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. How would you describe the competition in college football so far this year?
I think it's been really good. We're going to have, because of these bigger conferences and, you know, the disparate schedules that we've talked about, we could have a bunch of 10-2 teams this year. And they can't all make the college football playoff. So we're probably going to have three or four, you know, 10-win teams left out of the college football playoff. But that's because, you know, as these conferences get bigger and you've got these weird schedules, and, of course, non-conference schedules matter too, you're just going to have a lot of teams that have been able to pile up a high number of wins, and there won't be room for everybody. So that's going to be interesting. There's going to be some pretty good teams still left out of this playoff, which is why I talk about a team, you know, like Indiana at 11-1, and there are certainly some 10-2 teams that have lesser schedules than other teams, even within their own league, that are going to look at, on the selection day and go, how did we not get in with, you know, 11-1 or 10-2? You know, it's that they can't take everybody. They won't be able to take everybody even then.
What is Alabama's path to the playoff, considering the Tide are on the outside right now?
Yeah, they have to win out because they're already with two losses. And if they get to three, you know, 9-3 is not going to make the college football playoff this year unless things really go sideways this last month. So, you know, they're off this week. They're playing at LSU next week. They also have two losses. So that's basically an elimination game by Alabama and LSU. LSU, of course, that's an easy place to play on the road, you know, especially at night. It'll be a cakewalk for
Alabama. They call it Death Valley for a reason.
yeah, the place is nuts. So that ends up being an elimination game for Alabama and LSU. And, you know, that's you wouldn't have thought that this late in the season. Maybe for LSU you might have, that they'd have two losses. Alabama, of course, lost to Vanderbilt, and that's a real head-scratcher. Even though, you know, Vanderbilt's 5-3 and having a good year, that's still a loss that if they don't make the college football playoff, that Alabama fans are going to point to as the reason why.
Mm. I will not try another true or false because my brain is clearly fried from October. However, the impact of an expanded playoff on the regular season, has it lessened what these games mean on a week-to-week basis? Because, oh, we have a fallback. We've lost one game only, so we're still likely to get into the playoff. Or do you think it heightens the week-to-week?
I think it's heightened it because more teams, you have to pay attention to more teams as possible playoff teams. So, yeah, you take a loss, you still got a shot. But more teams are in play every week for a college playoff spot. Whereas now entering November, under the old system, you'd be looking at, well, there's maybe seven teams that have a chance to make the playoff. Well, now we need 12. The number of teams that have a chance to make the playoff entering November is going to be closer to 20, you know, a realistic chance to make the playoff. So I think it's more games matter in terms of a college football playoff as the season goes on, and I think that generates more excitement.
You really think there could be 20 still alive by the time we get to, well, as you mentioned, the inauguration day is when the championship is. By the time we get to early December, you still think there could be that many alive?
No. No, I think it's like 20 now.
20 now. You know, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, but in the past, it would have been more like 7.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, no, there'll be 12 alive when we get to December when they tell us. And there'll be, you know, 14, 15, it'll be pretty obvious who the bubble is, and it'll be probably relatively thin.
Gotcha. So when you're looking at the, you know, some of the conference champions, obviously we talked about how there's a premium placed on those teams, especially with the power conferences. Well, what about a team like a Notre Dame? How much more does Notre Dame have to accomplish in order to be included?
Well, so Notre Dame's problem, not being in a conference, is they can't automatically qualify.
Gotcha.
So, you know, they won their season opener at Texas A&M, a game that looks, you know, really good right now. But their schedule is such that might be the only ranked team they play. And that's not good.
Wow.
So, you know, Florida State was on their schedule, disappointed. Louisville's on their schedule, may end up in the rankings eventually, but probably not. They're not horrible, but they may not be top 25 quite. And USC is kind of falling back a little bit. And for USC to end up in the rankings, they probably have to beat Notre Dame, so that doesn't help them any. So, you know, they could be another team is similar to Indiana in the sense that, you know, they don't have a win over – well, they have that win over A&M, but they made up for it by losing to Northern Illinois, who looks like a middle-of-the-MAC team. So, yeah, they're going to be tough to judge. You know, and their schedule just doesn't help them. And, you know, they're in charge of their schedule, more or less, but, you know, they've got 5 ACC games that are assigned to them. They've got 3 permanent rivals that they've, you know, chosen with those teams. And so there's not that much flexibility in the schedule, but that's really their own doing. And it could come back and bite them this year.
In your latest column, I noticed that you give the word of caution to people about looking at the rankings from either the AP or the coaches and feeling like that's an accurate picture of what the College Football Playoff Committee will do. But I didn't even realize as I was reading it, they don't even look at the rankings. They don't consider the rankings at all?
No. They're creating their own. And one of the flaws in the AP and the coaches' polls is that they have a preseason start, which is random. Nobody's played a game yet. And then they base everything off what happened the last week. So, you know, you're voting, you know, based on this week's results and what you had in your top 25 as a voter last week. And then you move some teams around, you go from there. And the committee doesn't want to consider any polls or anything like that that has a preseason starting point, because it's just not. Well, the other thing about not
it's
doing
not
that
science.
Is, well, they have 13 people making a decision. You know, the AP's got, you know, 60 writers, and there's, you know, 50 some coaches or whatever that vote. They're not on the committee, so why consider their rankings? Right? We've got 13 of us. We're doing our own thing. We've got plenty of data to work with. We don't need other people's rankings to guide us.
Right. Gotcha. All right. Before I let you go, for people who don't know, Jerry is a Chicago sports fan, and that includes the Bears as well as the Cubs. So North Side when it comes to baseball. And I have to tell you just a quick story that I'm sure you'll appreciate. As the Bears were finding the end zone with 25 seconds to go on Sunday, I was really impressed by the way that they had recovered from what was a fail there on the goal line. I don't know, maybe 2 minutes earlier. And I was impressed by their comeback in a game that was kind of rough with the offense for both teams, both the Bears and the Commanders. And so I start to put my tweet together, and I call it this gritty comeback by Chicago, especially after the demoralizing fumble on the goal line earlier in the fourth quarter. And then there's this voice in my head that says, well, maybe you want to wait till the game's over.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Over and I'm like, what are the chances? So I tweet the kind of road win that gives a team confidence. Not perfect, but satisfying. Well, by the time I watch the end and Jaden Daniels to Noah Brown, it's too late to take it down because the replies have already started coming in. So I just decided I would ride it out. But you know how it is. We can tweet something brilliant and it gets seen by like four people. You tweet something that's a mistake or that features a miscue and it's no joke. It's been seen 97,000 times. So tremendous, but I left it up there just because the replies were hilarious. Anyway.
Yeah. Probably the old takes exposed Twitter account is going to find you and several others.
No doubt.
Yeah. I'm a seasoned Bears fan, so I'm waiting for the disaster to happen. It did.
It did.
And of course, then you've got the kid taunting the fans.
Oh, gosh, right.
Because, you know, they're all older a little bit than my kids. But and taunting the fans instead of making the play, and then the ball goes off of his hand.
Right.
Into the end zone. Yeah.
But how excited are you, though, about what you've seen so far from the Bears?
Well, it's nice to see them competitive. That's a change. Caleb Williams is coming along. you know, the Bears have a long and storied history of ruining quarterbacks. The only Bears quarterback in the Hall of Fame is Sid Luckman.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. So I think the only Bears quarterback that was taken in the first round that's ever meant developed into anything since then was Jim McMahon.
Mm.
So, you know, the Bears have ruined a lot of quarterbacks. You know, I'm waiting for Caleb Williams to suffer that fate, but so far he seems to be avoiding it. So we'll see how it goes.
It's early.
He's a very talented kid,
yes,
for sure. But they got to surround him with better players, on especially the offensive line. And then if they can do that, then they can maybe have something going there.
It's nice, though, when they're above 500 in what is the toughest division in football. All right.
Yeah, it's still in last place.
Yeah, true. You can find Jerry Palm online at JP Palm CBS. He's the insider with all of the criteria and the projections for the upcoming college football playoff rankings, featuring a group of 12 that will be released next week. So check him out on CBSSports.com. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes. I know your hours are wonky this time of the well, really every time of the year. And so I appreciate that you're up awake with us. Thanks, Jer.
All right, thanks.
This portion of the show is sponsored by the new 2025 Hyundai Tucson Hybrid that has class-leading advanced safety features like the available blind spot view monitor to make your ride more enjoyable. True story, tweet is still up about the Chicago Bears and their incredible gritty comeback. I'm not taking it down. 855-212-4227. Speaking of the NFC North, it's Packers and Lions this weekend. And Jordan Love talking about his injury. You'll hear from him next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's the first of the Halloween music. If you're waking up on October 31st, I know some Dodgers fans haven't gone to bed. In fact, the Dodgers only left Yankee Stadium about 90 minutes ago. I saw a tweet when they pulled out of the Bronx and out of the stadium. So that was just 90 minutes ago. They were living it up, as you can imagine. Lots of videos from inside their clubhouse from different Dodgers reporters, including our friend Michael J. Duarte, who was with us, and his dog, in studio for our last show. And if you missed the photos of Melo, oh my gosh, they're tremendous. Michael's going to have to leave. Well, he probably has left the stadium by now. Go straight to the airport after stopping to pick up Melo and his stuff, because there's no way. He doesn't have much of a margin for error. I think his flight was at 7 a.m., so he was going to have to hop to it, and Melo would be waiting. But he did send me a text on Wednesday morning and said this, Pete. He said, thank you so much for last night. We had such a blast. Melo slept like a log all morning. So I guess we wore Melo out having her here in studio. She was a radio star.
She was. She had to be, she worked a little bit.
Did you tell your son about her?
I always mention doggies around the kids. Whenever I say dog, they'll repeat dog. And Timmy loves dogs. So
you have to show him the pictures.
Yes, I do.
Of Mello and how you, dad got to work with a dog. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So, yeah, Dodgers are done. World Series is done. There's obviously a lot still to come, like their championship parade once they get back to L.A. And if you didn't see this, I put it out there on social, along with the photos of Mello at A-Law Radio. They are going to be celebrating with a parade, and they didn't do this in 2020, but on Friday, November 1st, which is also Fernando Valenzuela's birthday. And that, seriously, it gave me chills when I heard it, because what are the chances? It's one of those from this category of you can't make this stuff up. He would have been 64 years old, but of course passed away abruptly before the World Series began. So we'll get back to World Series at the top of the hour. A little football between now and then, like this mammoth game we've got coming up between the 6-2 Packers and the 6-1 Detroit Lions on Sunday. I dare say we could have this as your After Hours game of the week that will give you a chance to be part of the poll. We don't want to steal your thunder from you. But Jordan Love, he's considered day-to-day, and he's right now trying to work through a groin injury even as he gets back to practice.
I'm going to take it one day at a time, do my best I can to, you know, being here doing rehab, be with the trainers, and try and get back as fast as possible.
Now, he was asked about his emotions, and remember, he already went through an injury. Going back to the Packers season opener in Brazil, he dealt with, at the time, they thought might be a serious, even season-ending knee injury. It wasn't, and he was back in game four, if I believe, if I remember correctly, right? Because Malik Willis started two games for them, and then they went back to Jordan Love. And so he's dealing with yet another injury and was asked about just the emotions of this roller coaster ride.
Injury is part of the game. You hate to see them. It sucks when it happens to you, but, it's part of it. So just trying to control as you control, handle rehab, handle trying to get back, and do everything I can to prevent, injuries in the future.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur has indicated that he's moving around a lot better with this groin injury, that they're taking it one day at a time, though they are attempting as best they can to get him ready for this game against the Lions.
Yeah, I've made progress. It's definitely feeling better. I think every day there'll be some improvements to it, but definitely feels better than it did on Sunday.
With that said, you obviously want to play. How realistic is it that you can be out there Sunday?
I think it's realistic.
He said it's realistic that he could be out there. Now, here's something that if you're looking at the schedule, you may notice the Packers have their bye week following this Lions game. So what if, right, could they keep him out, give him that extra time to rest, and then bring him back for what would be week number 11? Pete, oh my gosh. So this is week nine.
Nine.
Their bye would be week 10, and then we're into week 11.
11.
Oh my gosh, it's full. We got an echo in the peanut gallery. It's nine.
Nine.
Nine. This is crazy. You wake up from October, and now it's the last day of the month, and it's Halloween, and we're about to turn our clocks back on Saturday night into Sunday. Actually, I'm really excited about that because my husband and I have planned a fairly strenuous hike. We're going to do a three mountain hike in the Catskills. And we needed to do it before it got darker earlier, just because we need as much daylight as possible. It's about a 9.5 mile hike. But then we decided that we were going to need the extra hour of sleep because we were going to be dead to the world after doing this hike. So we're pretty excited about that. We're going to do chicken parm the night before. I think I'm more excited about the chicken parm than I am about the actual hike.
That's a good preparation, strategy meal.
Good carb load, right? Anyway, so this is the weekend where we turn our clocks back. We go into November. It blows me away, but we've just now bidding farewell to baseball and moving full speed ahead into the second half of the NFL season. And yeah, the bye apparently is not factoring in, at least according to Matt LaFleur. They want him to play if he can play. And even with the bye coming next week, they're trying to get him back out there as fast as possible. But Malik Willis has turned into a really nice, I don't want to say surprise. Well, maybe it's a surprise. Even if it's not a surprise to the Packers, it's a surprise to the Titans. And it's a surprise to the rest of the NFL because he got up there with, what, a couple weeks to get ready? They throw him into the mix in week number two, and they were a heavy run game plan in that week two, and it worked to perfection. They ran the ball, if I remember correctly, it was over 200 yards in that game, and they did what they needed to do to win in week number two. In week number three, though, they allowed him to throw the ball a little more. It worked really well, and then when he came in the second half, last week against the Texans, Malik Willis actually led them to a win. I mean, this was a big deal for the Packers. He continues to grow. Texans. It was Jaguars last week. It was Jaguars or Texans the week before. Sorry about that. So, yeah, they've had back-to-back late field goals, last-minute field goals to beat the Texans and the Jags. So the Packers are right now running a four-game win streak, but Malik Willis instrumental in what they've been able to do so far. At A-Law Radio, of course, we'll have the After Hours Game of the Week poll starting on tomorrow night's show as we look ahead to the football weekend. And if you haven't seen the Mookie Betts meme that does involve the two dudes who tried to rip his glove and his wrist off of his arm, you got to check that out. So at Amy After Hours, a good place to find our polls as well as different videos and memes. I know producer Pete throws stuff up there. We may very well have a new video to share with you a couple of hours after our show is done in honor of October 31st and the end of baseball. So make sure you check it out there. And then also on our Facebook page. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Mint Mobile. Switch and get half off unlimited premium wireless at mintmobile.com/score. We lead off with the World Series and a true Hollywood story.
Dave Roberts can hardly watch. Here's the 1-2 pitch from Buehler. Got him swinging! That's it! It's a World Series win for LA! They've done it! They finished the job and give Los Angeles the parade it's been waiting for!
Steven Nelson on Dodgers Radio. Dodgers world champs for the 8th time in franchise history, second time in 5 years. After a 7-6 win over the Yankees in Game 5, they win the series 4-1. Mookie Betts snapping a 6-6 tie with an 8th-inning sacrifice fly. Freddie Freeman named the World Series MVP.
Every spring training, this is our goal. And for it to come true with this group of guys, I couldn't ask for a better year. Holy cow.
Woo! Freeman on Fox. After the game, the Dodgers rallied from a 5-0 deficit with 5 runs in the 5th inning, including a 2-run single by Freeman, who homered in each of the first 4 games. Now to the NFL. Saints quarterback Derek Carr expected to play on Sunday against the Panthers after missing the last 3 games with an oblique injury. Now to the NBA scoreboard. Blazers over the Clippers 106-105, Warriors 104, Pelicans 89. The Thunder beat the Spurs 105-93, Nets 119, Grizzlies 106, Bulls over the Magic 102-99, Knicks 116, Heat 107, Hornets over the Raptors 138-133, Wizards 133, Hawks 120, Pistons beat the Sixers 105-95. In overtime, Pacers beat the Celtics 135-132, and the Cavs over the Lakers 134-110. NHL, the Devils beat the Canucks 6-0. The Kings double up the Golden Knights 6-3. It was Utah over the Flames 5-1. The Lightning beat the Avalanche in Colorado 5-2. The Jets over the Red Wings in Motown 6-2. And the Blue Jackets blank the Islanders 2-0. I'm Peter Schwartz.
The Infinity Sports Network is on your smart speaker. All you have to say is, play Infinity Sports Network. That's it. Play Infinity Sports Network.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We'll get back to the World Series at the top of the hour, but we introduced a new game last week. We'll call it a game because it's supposed to be fun at my expense too. But you know what? After the week of humiliation I've had on social media, I'm okay with it. There are pictures of dogs. That's all you need to know. We call this knockout. And at some point, I think we're going to need some LL Cool J. Mama said knock you out. I love LL Cool J. Not only as an actor, but also as a performer. So I feel like that's the song. Or Hit Me With Your Best Shot. But that comes from Ask Amy Anything, so we can't really use it twice.
We'll go to the LL Cool J. We're building on it. You know, this is still developing organically. So this edition, 5 rounds, a baseball edition as we wrap up the baseball season.
Okay.
So I'm going to hit you with the first round. Which team returns to the World Series in 2025? Yankees or Dodgers?
Well, if I have to only pick one of those teams, I'll say the Dodgers for a couple of reasons. Number one, they got crushed with injuries this year. They used nearly 24 starting pitchers. And it's crazy that they ran through so many bodies, including a bunch of rookies, and still won the NL West. Now, granted, they have 3 humongous bats at the top of their lineup. But remember, Freddie Freeman was in and out of the lineup with injuries. I'm pretty sure they lost Mookie for quite a while as well with another injury. Shohei Ohtani hasn't even pitched yet. Could end up with offseason surgery for that dislocated shoulder. So with him back in the lineup, we know Clayton Kershaw is going to try to go again. Walker Buehler is... he is high on the hog. He's found new life, and I dare say he's healthy, though he's a free agent. But there's a lot of guys they like that are coming back from injury in that starting rotation. So I'll say with stability in their pitching staff and a Shohei who's about to earn the $700 million that they're paying him, that the Dodgers have a better shot. Yankees maybe without Juan Soto. There's a lot of talk that he could flip teams in New York and end up with the New York Mets instead, although that would put him back in the NL East. So if you're making me pick one, I'll go Dodgers.
What a transition. Juan Soto in 2025. The Yankees or the field?
I'll take the field. I do think the Yankees will offer him a ton of money. We know they did to keep Aaron Judge, but Aaron Judge was homegrown. he was here. They were never going to let Judge go. They would have paid him whatever it was that he wanted after his MVP season. Well, now he's about to get another one. I think Soto will have a lot more options. There are going to be other teams out there that want to bring him on board. And it doesn't sound like he's giving the Yankees any type of, quote, hometown discount. Not that he needs to. He's only 26 years old, just turned 26, had a career year. But I'm going to think another team will swoop in and spend more money on him. And since he's already got a World Series ring, I don't know that he's in that whole run it back category. But from his comments afterwards, it's clear that his agency has schooled him to give the basic answers of, hey, it's open season for Juan Soto.
Last year's big free agent, Shohei Ohtani, as we've talked about many times during this postseason, MVP and Cy Young or neither in 2025.
Wait, both? You mean both?
Both or neither in 2025.
No, I'll say neither. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he won one of those awards, considering that he's about to collect an NL MVP in his first year with the Dodgers, but I don't think he wins both. And that's been done a few times, right? Most recently, Clayton Kershaw won an MVP and a Cy Young. And then we also saw Justin Verlander going back to, was it 10 or 11, somewhere in there, where he did it with the Tigers. It's not common, though, obviously. So I don't think that it's too early. Maybe give him another year to get back to the rhythm with the pitching. I wouldn't put it past him, but I'll say neither if those are the choices.
Aaron Boone receiving a lot of heat from many Yankee fans and from many people around baseball for his performance in the World Series. It's already been reports out there that he's going to return next season. But I'm looking at 2026.
Yep.
Aaron Boone in 2026, is he the Yankee manager or doing something else?
No, I think he's the Yankee manager. He's got a good tenure there. They finally get back to a World Series. Now they need to win the World Series. He can only play the hand he's dealt, right? So Aaron Judge, for instance, after he had his MVP season, he's out for most of the year with injuries. That's not on Aaron Boone. I know that it's easy to go back and focus with such a myopic lens on all the little mistakes that were made. And I get it. People hate the Nestor Cortez move. Going back to game number one, he's the guy that gave up the grand slam to Freddie Freeman. And I know that was a gut punch to the Yankees. But he got them there. And he talked, everybody has talked about how close this team was. Again, they finally break through for the first time in 15 years. Now they've got the goal. I say that he's earned himself a couple more years, but I think he has a team option for next year, right?
He does. They'll have to rip up the contract and give him a new one.
Yeah.
Unless they give him a lame duck year, which is probably not happening.
No, I'm thinking that they're going to give him a new contract, and actually he may end up signing it before next season even starts, and that would keep him around for more than just next year.
Now, the other dugout, Dave Roberts, wins his second world championship with the Dodgers. This one, silencing the critics of the 2020 campaign. Dave Roberts, is he a Hall of Famer or not yet?
Yes, he is. He's a Hall of Famer. He's been in Los Angeles for a long time now. They have, obviously, a very successful string of not just NL West titles, but playoff appearances. Whether or not the majority of baseball fans considered 2020 to be legit, everybody was on the same playing field. I mean, it's not like the Dodgers had fewer games than everybody else. They won with the same set of specs and circumstances as every other team. He now has also a ring as a player, so he had a successful playing career, too. So I'm thinking that he's already, I don't want to say cemented it, but that he will be a Hall of Famer, maybe not first ballot, but Dave Roberts gets in.
And that's it. That's the baseball edition of the Knockout as we close the book.
Boom! Mama says knock you out!
On 2024.
On 2024, the baseball season, or 2024, like forever? That's it.
That's the baseball season.
I was thinking, wow, did we jump ahead and it's now New Year's Eve? Oh, gosh, think about where we'll be. I don't even know where we'll be on New Year's Eve. Goodness, it's the middle of the week, right? It's a Tuesday.
Well, I hope
you won't be here.
I hope to have some beverage in my hand.
Yeah, so you won't be here. I generally do work New Year's Eve, although I may not this year. We'll see. It's not the first one being married, actually. It's the second, but with all the different college football, I have to check that schedule out before I can decide what I want to do. The baseball edition, the Mama Said Knock You Out baseball edition of Knockout, that has come to an end. on October 31st, 2024. Happy Halloween to those of you who celebrate. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.